Well, last Sunday, we celebrated Mother's Day, which was a very special day, a day set aside to honor a special person to all of us in all of our lives, our mothers. On Mother's Day, a couple of my brothers and sisters met me at the cemetery where my mom's buried. And it was 50 years ago that she had died. I'm thinking, 50 years ago? She'd been dead that long. But you know, we all stood there and just reminisced about our personal experiences with our mom. Because we all had them. You know, there were 15 of us kids, but you know, we all had our own personal experience with our mom. And it was just nice. I hope my voice holds out. I didn't have a PA this morning, and I was hollering. So I hope I can continue talking. Now, maybe you don't, but anyway, we were thinking about that, and we each talked a little bit about that. But you know, the memories of a mother are so important to each of us. We don't forget little things of our interactions with our mother. But I think back to a time before Barb and I had children. I think back, you know, because we spent a lot of time together. We were young, newly married. We spent a lot of time doing the fun things that young married people do because we didn't have any major responsibilities, nothing holding us back. I was playing music, plus I had a pretty good job, and life was good, and we were just having a good time. And we were very young, and we had a 3-year period of time to grow up before we had a child, thank goodness. Because had we had a child any earlier, we would have probably been on the same level. We would have considered the child a playmate rather than a child, because we were pretty immature. But what a miracle having children is. What a miracle it is. And God in his wisdom knew there would be no greater experience than having a child. But with a child, having children, comes change. And as a husband and wife who are married, who are learning to live with each other, and then they have a child, changes need to be made for both people. The husband has become a father who is responsible for the care of that child financially, to put a roof over that child's head, clothes for that child, food, taking care of the needs. So a husband becomes a father, change in his responsibilities. With a mother, there's change also. But what a dynamic change it is. Much more complicated than it is for the husband as he becomes a father. As a wife, becoming a mother is much more. She becomes a mother who has given life to a person, and she is undertaking a lifelong responsibility that not only included giving birth, but loving, feeding, clothing, nursing, educated, and worrying about her children. And worrying if she's doing things the right way. Is she raising this child the right way? Is she teaching the child the right things? Change from a wife to a mother. And they're lifelong changes. But changes have to be made to fulfill the role of a father and a mother. And the same can be said about Christians. We're not the same people we were before we understood God's truth. Just as a woman makes the necessary changes to become a successful mother, we as Christians have to make the necessary changes to become a successful Christian. We can't do it without change. We can't be the same person we were before God called us. Doesn't work like that. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the day of Pentecost. A very special day. A day which we recognize is the day that God sent his Holy Spirit to his people. To those who believed his truth and obeyed him, God sent, as Jesus Christ promised, the Helper. Pentecost is much like any of the other holy days. It's a part of God's plan, a part of getting from point A to point B. It's part of that. But it has a wide range of related meanings within it. And one of those meanings, one of those themes of Pentecost is change. Is change. And that's the title of my message today. Change, a key to our future. Change, a key to our future. And we'll take a look today at a very important subject. And that subject is change. And how it relates to the day of Pentecost in our future. Because it does. In the second chapter of Acts, we read about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given as a gift to those who God is calling and working with. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 22. Acts chapter 2. And in 22, and we get into part of Peter's sermon here. And he's telling them very clearly, very boldly about Jesus Christ. Acts 2, and in verse 20, beginning in verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Peter just reminding them, you saw the miracles, you saw the healings, you saw what Jesus Christ was able to do. 23, "Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And then he quotes David here. It says, "For David says concerning him," and you find this in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. But you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Understanding who Jesus Christ was, understanding his message, understanding our future. He goes on to verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to set on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Till Jesus Christ returns and brings the kingdom of God back to this earth. "Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter very boldly telling them, you saw the miracles. You saw what Jesus Christ did, and you are responsible for his crucifixion. You're responsible for his death. But making it very clear who Jesus Christ was. Goes on in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" What do we do with this information, with this knowledge? We don't know. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And then Peter said to them, "Repent. Change. Change who you are, how you think, what you do. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Peter making it very clear. Here's what you need to do. You need to change. You can't be the same person who crucified Jesus Christ. You have to listen. You have to learn. You have to go to God and ask Him to help you. You have to understand. You can't be that same person. Repent means change. Getting baptized for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter made that very clear. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, making a change in the way we live our lives. And change, as we all know, is very hard to make. But if we want to please and obey God, we must do that. We can't be the same person we were. If we are, then we aren't allowing or submitting ourselves to God, if we haven't changed. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. Romans 8, beginning in verse 8. "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." It goes beyond the physical. It goes to the spiritual. Are we thinking, as members of God's church, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, are we thinking spiritually? In verse 9 it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We've put the old person to death. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have the understanding that through baptism, by putting our old self to death, burying our old self, we become new, receiving God's Holy Spirit. We're not the person we were. In verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So we need to make those changes and allow God's Spirit to lead and guide us. To let God's Spirit do exactly what Jesus Christ said it would do, to help us. To help us have understanding, to help us have vision, to help us have strength. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and in verse 1. Says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Well, our bodies aren't acceptable to God unless we change. Unless we repent. Unless we have our sins forgiven. Our bodies are not acceptable. And in verse 2 it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're to prove to ourselves, making sure that we, with no doubt at all, understand that this is the truth of God. And we accept that. And we want to live by that. And once we're satisfied that this is God's truth, then we must present ourselves a living sacrifice. One who has turned ourselves over to God, allowed God's Holy Spirit to work within us, to lead us. And we can't do that unless someone has a way, knows of a way. But we can't do that without making some changes in our lives. We all have to make those changes. In verse 2, Verse 2 goes on to tell us not to be conformed to this world. And as a Christian, we no longer fit into the mold of this world. We're square pegs that they're trying to put into a round hole if we try to conform ourselves to this world. We no longer fit. We're not conforming to the world. We can't belong to the world because we've accepted the Holy Spirit of God. We've accepted the changes that we need to make as Christians. But to conform means to copy or imitate, to squeeze into an existing mold. And that's what we would have to do. We would have to try to squeeze ourselves into the existing mold of the world. We don't fit. If we're a Christian, we don't fit anymore. We're different. And transform. Being transformed means to be changed from what we are. That we're no longer the person we were 40 years ago, 45 years ago, whenever we made that decision to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us, whenever we were baptized and had our sins forgiven and became a child of God, we're no longer the same person. We're transformed. We made changes. 2 Corinthians, if you turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can look in the mirror and I don't see anything new. I see something getting old. But spiritually speaking, we're becoming new. We're a new creature. We're changing the way we think, the way we do things. Can you and I think about our lives and realize how much we've changed over the years since God's called us? And that's not putting a feather in our hat or being vain or anything else, because it's fact. We have all changed. We are not the same person. We don't think like the world thinks anymore. And it doesn't matter how long we've been in the church. Our thinking process must change. We need to be thinking God's way instead of our way. Because remember what the Bible says about the carnal mind? It's enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. Can't compute. Can't take in what God's offering. Can't do it without God's Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and a verse 1. Ephesians 2 and a verse 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, how many of us can deny that's who we were before God's calling? We fit in. We were a round peg fitting in a round hole. We fit perfect. We were molded to the world. We weren't any different. In verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're here because of God's calling. He chose us out of the world. He's helping us to be transformed through His Holy Spirit, to not be the same person, because today the world has its own God, Satan the devil. That's who they follow. That's who the world follows. That's who they're geared into, is Satan the devil. We can't do that. We don't do that. As God's children, we don't do that. We accomplish the change by allowing ourselves to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And by doing that, we're transformed into that new creature, into that new person. Matthew 18, if you turn there with me. Matthew 18. What I appreciate about God is he things are so simple and clear that pertain to our salvation. Simple and clear. We don't have to ask what does he mean in many, many cases. There are some things we don't understand and won't understand until Jesus Christ returns. But most of it we can. And in Matthew 18 and verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Very carnal, very physical. Who's the best? Who do you like best? Do you like me best? They wanted that answer. Who do you like the best? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Listen. Listen, what I'm going to tell you, you need to pay attention to. Assuredly, truthfully, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless you make those changes, unless you're willing to be submissive and obedient and be willing to change, by no means are you going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no doubt. There's nothing left to wonder about there. If you don't do this, you're not going to be in God's kingdom. Very clear. It says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Humility. Change. Don't be the same person you were. Follow me. Obey me. That's what God wants. And he doesn't mince words here. Very clear. Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And in verse 19. Acts 3 and in verse 19. It says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come for the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven and earth must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Jesus Christ returning to restore everything. As we're being restored now, as we understand God's way of life and God's truth, we have a part to play in this restoration. God had something very different in mind for his human creation when he created mankind. And if you and I make the changes in our lives, we can help restore God's plan. Put it back to the way God intended it. To where we are part of the family of God. His creation. But because of rebellion, that's not the case today. Because of sin, that's not the case. But we have the opportunity to begin that restoration process with mankind, with you and I, to restore ourselves back with the help of God's Holy Spirit to what God intended us to be. Matthew 24, if you turn there with me. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and in verse 21, talking about the tribulation here. Talking about times that are going to be terrible, that are going to come on this earth. Matthew 24 and verse 21. says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor never shall be, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, for your sake and my sake, and all those God has called and working with that are submitting themselves to God, that are making changes in their lives, turning their lives around and becoming new creatures, for their sake, those days will be shortened. Otherwise, all of humanity would be doomed. It would all be destroyed. But for our sake, the elect's sake, God will intervene. How do we become elect? How do we become one of the elect? Well, it begins with change. With understanding, we have to change. We have to do things God's way instead of our way. We have to be submissive to God and not continue on thinking we have the answers. We can live to be 100 years old and think we have the answers. And because we're old and supposedly smarter than we were at a younger age, if we still think we're someone who has all the answers, more than likely we're making a big mistake. God has the answers, not us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. You know, we could keep the law till we're blue in the face. But if we don't change, if we don't repent, if we don't turn ourselves over to God, we've done that all in vain. Remember the rich young ruler that says, I've done all things all my life. I've kept the laws all my life. But there was something more that Christ tried to point out to him. There's something more than that. There's something spiritual that you're not seeing, that you're not getting, and he didn't get it. And we need to get that. And we can if we allow change. If we allow ourselves to change, we can begin to see the spiritual aspect. In verse 4 it says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You just can't get your physical mind, if you're not thinking beyond that, to accept God. It just won't do it. You have to get beyond the physical. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fatality, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, don't we get excited about that even when we pray, Thy kingdom come? Because we want to be a part of the family of God. We want to see the pain and suffering in this world end. We're growing that way spiritually. We're seeing beyond the physical and how wonderful it can be in God's kingdom. And the part we can play in that to turn this around. We're here today as part of the first fruits who have received the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 16, it says, But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Again, more of Peter's sermon. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's Holy Spirit doing fantastic things. The power of God, the same power that we were given at baptism. That same Spirit that we were given to help us. To help us see what we need to do, to help us see beyond the physical. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was only the first fulfillment of a greater outpouring on all the flesh at the end of the age. Can you imagine God's Holy Spirit in everyone? What a world that would be. What a changed world that would be. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Through the word, through the message that Jesus Christ brought, and that we understand our future, we understand why He had to be crucified. Because of our sins. But we understand now that we're kind of a first fruit. We're the first of many that God will be dealing with, that will receive God's Holy Spirit. But that's you and me being talked about here. We're only the beginning. We're only the beginning. Billions of people in this world, and we're only the beginning. We, along with others that God has handpicked, are the first human beings God is waiting to harvest. God is using us. God is working with us through His Holy Spirit, helping us, shaping us, transforming us to become part of His family. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 38. Matthew 13 and verse 38. It says, the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. Just as he said before, they won't be apart. Anyone who is that way, anyone who doesn't submit to God, to obey God, won't be a part of that harvest. They'll be destroyed. In verse 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be many wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hopefully we're hearing what God's saying. Hopefully we're understanding. Changes need to be made continuously in all of our lives. Conversion is a lifelong process, just like motherhood is a lifelong process. A mother is always a mother, and a Christian should always be a Christian. We shouldn't change. We can't take time off as a Christian to do something else, to conform to the world for a little while, and then we'll come back. We can't do that. God doesn't accept that. Philippians 3 and verse 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our citizenship is now. We're not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is much higher than that. Because we see the spiritual aspect of that through God's Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, for our citizenship, or verse 21, it says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself? We read again about transformation and confirmation. In verse 21, our lowly body is being transformed, changed from what we are. Not the same person, a new creature. We're not the same as we were. And we're changed so it will conform, not to this world, not conforming to this world, but to conform or copy or imitate or fit into the mold of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing. As our conversion continually takes place, we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ to fit that mold. And when he returns, our confirmation will be complete. We will become spirit. Jesus Christ will be bringing us all to himself as part of the God family. Our citizenship is not on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is also a citizen of heaven. Christ isn't going to return today. The day of Pentecost is a yearly reminder of God's truth and plan for the harvest of his first fruits through his Holy Spirit. That's what we're reminded of. Remember who you are. Remember you have God's Holy Spirit. Remember why you have God's Holy Spirit. Why it was sent. You know, we don't hear much good news taking place around the world these days. And we, along with millions of others, we endure hardships, trials, as was mentioned in the sermonette. We endure disappointments. And the troubles of life will be with us until the return of Christ. That's life on this earth. And we deal with that. But we deal with that in a different way. We deal with that not only in a physical way, because we go beyond that. I had to deal with that with the clerk this morning in a spiritual way, because a physical way was not the way to handle that. but just allow God to take care of things. God will work this out. Okay, it's a disappointment. Going to cause us some problems here, but we'll get it worked out. And you know, everybody's attitude was great. It was great. It was like, you know, we were like the Israelites wandering, looking for a place to have services. And it all worked out. You know, just a little glitch. Didn't mean a thing. And we worked out, and we had a great Sabbath. But the Holy Spirit will help us get through these times, making changes as we learn to grow spiritually, because that's what it's all about. We're not here to fill a chair. We're not here to fellowship. We're not here to meet new friends. We're not here just to have a place to go and a social club. Those are all part of why we're here. But the main reason we're here is to grow spiritually, to become more and more like Jesus Christ, to continue changing as we grow spiritually. 2 Corinthians 4, if you turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Giving all of that praise to God and to Jesus Christ. Never thinking we're doing this on our own. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That Jesus Christ didn't die in vain for you or I. That we take that very serious. That we understand the reason for his death. We don't take that lightly. We understand that he died for our sin. We put sin out of our lives, not continuing to live in sin. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Physical to spiritual. We understand it. We get beyond the physical. Eternal life is something we can't see, touch, smell, or taste. But through faith, we know it's there. We know it's there. We believe it. We believe God's word. That eternal life is our reward. And we believe that. 1 John, if you turn there with me. 1 John. 1 John. First John, beginning in verse 1. says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Those words of truth are passed on to us through others who God has called and worked through. Our future is to be like our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have all the answers, as I said before, and we won't have until Jesus Christ returns. We'll have an answer for everything in this book. We'll understand it more clearly. But now God has opened our minds and given us the understanding of who we are, who Jesus Christ is, what our future is. God's annual holy days help us to see the love that God has for us, all that He's done for us and will continue to do for us. We have a part in His wonderful plan of mankind. Life is about change. Continually. Conversion. Continual repentance when we do something wrong. But change can be both good and bad. And we talked about lifelong changes because that's what our conversion is. That's what motherhood is. That's what being a Christian is. Change for the good. When a wife becomes a mother, that's a good change. And when we become a Christian, that's a good change. Takes a lot of hard work. Takes some struggle. Adds a little stress. Maybe some sleepless nights. But it's a good change. The day of Pentecost reminds us that God's plan is about change. About doing things differently. We decide to change from living in conflict with God's way to living a life that's in harmony with God's way. We've made that decision when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we were baptized, when we repented of our sins and received God's Holy Spirit, we changed. We no longer live in conflict with God's truth. Changing from the way of sin to the way of righteousness, so we can one day, all of us, one day when Jesus Christ returns, we can all enter into eternal life.